There was plenty happening this week that had nothing to do with coronavirus. May ended with the announcement that it was the driest and sunniest month of May ever recorded. On Sunday, there was a huge demonstration in Norwich city centre to support the Black Lives Matter movement. Services for some of Norfolk's most at-risk young people were heavily criticised by inspectors. Alan Partridge announced he's branching out into the world of podcasting. A Norfolk distillery has produced England's oldest whisky. And the former Coleman site near Carrow Road could be the heart of a scheme providing 4,000 homes and 6,000 jobs. So here's Robin with the first of these stories, reminding us that May was an amazing month in East Anglia.
East Anglia has experienced its driest May since records began in 1862. With just 4.2 millimetres of rain recorded for the whole month. Met Office data shows the region received only 9% of its average rainfall for May, and the total was less than half the previous record of 9.6 millimetres in 1989. It was also the region's sunniest month in records stretching back to 1929, with 314.6 hours of sunshine, more than 10 hours per day, representing 160% of the May average. Dan Holly of Norwich-based forecasting WeatherQuest said monitoring stations at Marham in Norfolk, Cavendish in Suffolk and Wittering in Cambridgeshire have all recorded just 0.4 millimetres of rain for the whole month, barely 1% of their long-term average. It is now 3 weeks since Marham and Wittering last recorded any rainfall at all, and aside from Benson in Oxfordshire, they have been the driest locations in the whole of the UK, he said. While many have enjoyed the early onset of summer and sweltering temperatures, the weather has brought problems, tempting people to travel to Norfolk beaches and beauty spots before the lockdown restrictions were eased, and damaging crops in parched farm fields. The increased number of people staying at home in their gardens during these unprecedented conditions is also putting pressure on water supplies. Industry body Water UK said water companies have seen a huge rise in domestic demand, particularly in the evenings, with use up 20% and some areas seeing peak demand of up to 40% above normal for the time of year, though the wet winter has left good supplies in reservoirs. There are currently no plans for hosepipe bans.
A large crowd of campaigners gathered in Norwich city centre to show their support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Hundreds of people, many decked out with face coverings and protest banners, took to the forum in Norwich to make their voices heard in the face of racial discrimination. The demo, which was broadcast across the internet for supporters at home, saw protesters gather in front of the landmark building, spanning from the corner of Bethel Street to Rampant Horse Street on the other side, with the numbers reaching back towards the Haymarket. More gathered in Eaton Park to hear speeches and poetry again streamed live online. Campaigners, young and old, stood shoulder to shoulder in rows, with most appearing to try their best to observe social distancing measures, assisted by police officers and stewards. There were cheers and chants of Black Lives Matter from the large and diverse crowd. However, as several speakers made their addresses, the observers fell silent. In a powerful address, one said, "Enough is enough. We're all the same. We all have hearts, we all have lungs, and we all breathe the same air." A particularly poignant moment of the demonstration saw the protesters come together in song in a rendition of Bob Marley's peace anthem, One Love. At another point during the demonstration, protesters took a knee on the ground, a symbolic gesture of the Black Lives Matter movement. The protests were part of a movement that has swept the globe since the death of an American man, George Floyd, who died after being knelt on for more than 8 minutes by a white police officer.
Services for some of Norfolk's most at-risk young people have been criticised by inspectors, who said some families were at crisis point. A report by Schools Inspector Ofsted and the Care Quality Commission raised significant concerns about effectiveness of the county's special educational needs and disabilities services. John Fisher, Norfolk County Council's Cabinet Member for Children's Services, said, "This is certainly not what I want for the children of Norfolk," but added the council was moving forward and dealing with families in a much better way. The report highlighted long waits, missed education, angst and frustration amongst staff and families, and 18 to 25 year olds facing a cliff edge in support. Nikki Price, chief executive of the charity Sensational Families, said it was frustrating and heartbreaking.
He made his name on the airwaves through Radio Norwich, North Norfolk Digital and latterly Shape, and has had several flirtations with television. It was therefore inevitable that Alan Partridge would eventually branch out into the world of podcasting. And this is exactly what Norwich's most famous fictional son will be doing when Steve Coogan reprises his timeless character for an 18-part podcast series. Recorded inside Alan's shed in an undisclosed Norwich location, From the Oast House, the Alan Partridge podcast will launch at the beginning of September. The host said, "If David Dimbleby has one, then of course I need one. All national treasures have a podcast. And with this series, I want to give my fans an intimate view of who I am. You may think you know me, but trust me, you have no idea what goes on behind closed doors at my podcast innovation studio. Besides, I'm bored of Ofcom and its regulations, and so it's time for the UK to hear what a real award-winning podcast is like. Tune in, or you're going to be missing out on the best things you'll hear since I was last on the radio," said Mr. Partridge. He added that he hoped venturing into the podcast world would attract a young, diverse and digitally engaged audience. And the podcast, he says, will reveal a wiser, more reflective Alan, demonstrating a maturity and insight that will be instantly recognisable to his fans, even if it's not yet acknowledged by some of his peers. An episode of From the Oast House is available for the next week on Amazon Alexa before the full series starts on September the 2nd.
The owner of a Norfolk firm has produced England's oldest whisky, despite managing with a skeleton staff since lockdown. Andrew Nelstrop, who runs the English Whisky Company in Rowdham near Thetford, opened in 2006 and has just launched an 11-year-old whisky that he started making almost from the start. Being the first whisky firm to successfully operate in England, he's managed to create the first age statement tipple compared to his usual small batches, which are typically 6-10-year-olds. Not only is it a first in England, but the whisky, named the English 11-year, presented with a striking yellow label, has a deeper, more smoky flavour because it's been in its oak bourbon casks for longer. But Mr. Nelstrop, managing director, said to create a whisky which carries an age on the bottle means the flavour also needs to be more consistent than younger whiskies, which tend to be sold with variations in flavour. And he's also had to get the whisky bottled and labelled, with the first batch of just under 2,500 bottles, with only 3 staff, compared to the usual workforce of 43, 40 of whom have been furloughed due to lockdown. He's had to streamline the business with his distillery tours on hold because of coronavirus and his restaurant closed, although he has just reopened the shop for sale of whisky, which can also be bought online. "We as a Norfolk company are making sure we stamp the box for producing the oldest whisky in England. You can taste the smokiness. It has an extra depth of flavour. It builds awareness and reminds people that we are here. Small batch whisky tends to suit drinkers who want something slightly different each time, whereas many want their favourite whisky to be the same next time they buy it.
Up to 4,000 new homes and 6,000 extra jobs, including at the former Coleman site, could be created as part of a new gateway to Norwich, say council leaders. £500,000 is to be spent on a master plan and feasibility study for a 123-acre area to the east of Norwich, which includes the sites at Carrow Works, the Deal Ground and the Utilities site. As well as homes, they say thousands of jobs could be created and are also exploring the creation of a marina in the area. But the success of the future development of the area between Trouse, Whitlingham and Thorpe St Andrew will hinge on improvements to Trouse Swing Bridge, Norwich City Council officers warned. Council leaders and officers believe the development of East Norwich has the potential to act as a long-term catalyst for regeneration of the wider area. The Labour-controlled City Council Cabinet will next week meet to bring forward plans to create the East Norwich Partnership, a new public-private sector group to steer the preparation of a master plan for the area.